The coroner's findings due in Ashwari's death, how an unconscious woman led to a major drug bust, and the one-year anniversary of the invasion of Ukraine. It's Friday, the 24th of February.
West Live. The West Live with Elle Georgiou and Kate Ryan.
Good morning, Elle. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Yay, it's finally here. Good to be back with you, though, Kate.
Oh, likewise. Now, Good Samaritans have rushed to help some people trapped in a car after a rollover overnight.
They have. So a mother and her two teenage children. I don't know if you've seen the pictures this morning, but it's a dual cab ute on its side. It looks pretty gnarly. You'd think you'd have some injuries, but they have escaped without any. So they are very, very lucky. But it would have been quite terrifying for them. They were trapped in the car for 10 minutes before those Good Samaritans came and helped free them from the ute. So they are very, very lucky this morning.
That's so lucky. And, you know, good on those Good Samaritans for coming to help.
Indeed.
Now, this next story is very bizarre. An unconscious woman who was found lying on the street has led to a pretty big drugs and weapons bust.
Yeah, and this has happened in a beachside suburb. A bag allegedly filled with meth, a gun, a huge haul of cash, and then it's led detectives to actually charge a man with a raft of serious weapon and drug offences. So I suppose that's a good thing, but that would have been quite an ordeal to see on the street, even for those coppers, I assume, who first got there.
Yeah, and I think this woman was allegedly just lying next to a bag that happened to be filled with
all of these things. Yeah. Shocking. Yeah, but it does sound like quite an unusual one, and it'll be interesting to see what comes out of that when it inevitably goes through the court system eventually.
Yeah, definitely. I think we'll be following that one. And now, the death of little Perth girl Ashwari Aswath on April 3, 2021 sparked a deeper look into WA's already struggling health system, which found massive problems and shortages and low morale. But really the important thing is the fact that Ashwaria is dead. And now there was a coronial inquest held last year, and the findings are due to be released today.
Finally, the coroner will be releasing those findings at 10 o'clock this morning. So we're not far away now. And I think, you know, I can speak for everyone in Perth when they say they want to know if it could have been prevented or the exact issues that led up to her death. So finally, her family as well, maybe some sort of closure for the loss of their dear little girl's life. But I can't believe it's been almost a couple of years since that happened, and we're still here and we still have hospital issues and still trying to have it rectified. So something does have to change so it doesn't happen to another child.
Yeah, I think we were all in a little bit of shock when we did hear it. First of all, I mean, when it turned out to be sepsis and all of these things that ended up happening as a result of this, and we did hear some pretty emotional testimonies in the inquest as well. So yeah. I suppose the findings will be just as shocking, and we will hear about that later today. And let's hope that something like this never happens again. Now, yesterday we spoke about the disgraced former health boss John Fullerton's sentencing. He was due to be sentenced yesterday, and now he has.
He has been, for those 16 corruption charges he pleaded guilty to last month. You never know what bureaucrats are going to go to jail, if they're going to go to jail at all when these kinds of things happen. But 4.5 years, that's what he copped. So he spent his first night in jail, and he will have to serve at least 2.5 of that 4.5 year sentence before he's eligible for parole. So, yeah, I think people would be quite happy with that, considering some of them just walk away straight back home with a slap on the wrist and a suspended sentence. Yeah. But he certainly had a few choice words for Jeff Parry last night, who got the opportunity to speak to him before he was taken away to the big house. So
yeah, it was pretty interesting. I think if you get the opportunity to see it, definitely.
And it definitely speaks to no remorse, the way he was speaking to him. So, yeah, you should. Everyone should have a little gander at that one.
Definitely. And now, we spoke yesterday about the massive profits that Woolies had over the year. But now it looks like, I don't know if they're putting that profit to good use. Do you remember the bungled Red Cycle campaign where we were all sending our soft plastics back to Woolies and Coles, and this whole Red Cycle was supposed to take the soft plastics and make it into something else or recycle it, to be revealed that they didn't really have the capacity to do it, and in fact a lot of the plastic was being sent overseas to be burned.
It's wild. I was just talking to my best friend about this yesterday, about what's happening with that. What do we do with our soft plastics? When's that happening?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah, and it turns out there wasn't much happening. But now, Woolies and Coles could soon take on responsibility for more than 12,000 tonnes of this stockpiled soft plastic. And they've offered to take control of the plastics from the failed REDcycle recycling program to provide safe storage of the material, because some of it could be toxic and harmful when it has been stockpiled for so long. So there are 32 stockpiles across New South Wales, Victoria and South Australia. So they're looking at contributing multi-million dollar funds to store and manage the material. That doesn't really say what is going to happen. It's just storing it. But
yeah.
Still, it's better than just having it go to landfill, I suppose.
I guess, but in this day and age, people do want to know where that soft plastic's going, because everyone is super environmentally conscious and aware now. So hopefully they do shed some more light on that.
Yeah, because this soft plastic, this REDcycle campaign was something like major retailers had paid $20 million over the past decade, and 150 million plastic items nearly across nearly 2,000 supermarkets had collected all of this. So that's a lot.
Oh,
and we all
so
thought
much.
We were doing the right thing.
Well, you can only rely on the people who are telling you what to do, I suppose. And it was going overseas to get burned, so it's not great.
Yeah, exactly. And now, I can't believe it, but today marks 1 year since the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Can you believe it's been a year?
I can't. I can't believe it's been a year since Jeff and Darina were over there. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and, you know, they spent several months over there as well, and seeing the carnage, the devastation, and, you know, the stories of hope as well. And now they're both back and covering, you know, people like
like John Fullerton swearing at Jeff. Oh, look, chalk and cheese. But it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And
just at the start of it, you know, Putin was saying, you know, he thought he was taking advantage of a divided West and a weak Ukraine. But if anything, it's proven that it wasn't that at all.
No.
Because he thought it was going to be swift and quick and just replace one pro-West government with one pro-Russian government, and it hasn't happened. And it's even seen, not the only reason, but it's part of the reason why, you know, Switzerland is considering stopping its neutral status and joining NATO, and Sweden and Finland have already done that. So
it's a big deal for the Swiss. So
Yeah. And, you know, experts are saying that there's no clear end in sight, and we're kind of in a bit of a stalemate. It could go on for a very long time.
Absolutely. They're incredible people. I think we can say the Ukrainians, the spirit they've shown, and they really embody. Well, Vladimir Zelensky, their president, really embodies all of the people, just how fierce they've been in the face of what's happened over the past 12 months with Russia's invasion. It is incredible to see, but you do hope these people have to stop fighting and go back to living their lives.
Yeah.
Imagine if it happened to us. It's hard to put yourself in that position, but
and
you have to get your head around it.
And this all comes as this was last night. Overnight, the UN General Assembly voted to approve a resolution condemning Russia's invasion of Ukraine, which, you know, it sounds obvious, but 141 nations voted, 32 nations abstained, and 7, including Russia, of course, voted against it. But just to show that the majority of the UN General Assembly condemned these actions, show that really it needs to be stopped.
Yeah.
And, you know, we spoke yesterday about China's relationship with Russia.
Yes.
You know, this could be potentially dangerous, but...
Well, they're big, they're powerful, and they're aligned in a dangerous way. So, yes, it could be.
Yeah, and I think it really only depends on China's trade agreements with other countries and if they're willing to let go of that. But it's yet to be seen.
The Wild West.
Now in the Wild West, it's been a day of sentencings for Hollywood predators. That's not really the best stories out there, but Harvey Weinstein was sentenced to 16 years in prison in Los Angeles for rape and sexual assault charges dating back to 2013. So he's already serving a 23-year sentence for a separate conviction. And he's 70 now. And more than 80 people have come out and made rape and misconduct allegations against him. So it's just incredible. And hopefully he never gets out of prison.
Exactly. And it's a testament to good journalism that he's in jail. And hopefully he stays there for a long time so he can't do any more damage to any other women out there. It's awful. He not only raped and did awful things to them, but he destroyed their careers. So if he needs to stay away for longer, he needs to stay away.
He does. And even his attorneys, you know, they asked for just a 3-year sentence to take into account his failing health. But really, look at the lives he's destroyed.
Exactly.
Yeah. And also, R. Kelly, another predator in the industry, has been sentenced to a 20-year prison sentence for his convictions on child sexual abuse images and enticement of minors for sex charges. But he'll serve them simultaneously with a 30-year sentence imposed on him last year on a racketeering charges. So a lot of people, especially his victims, are quite disappointed in this because it would have meant he would never get out of prison if he was sentenced consecutively.
Yeah. But it's happening at the same time, so it means he can get out faster.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. Mm. So it means, I mean, he'll still be 80 when he gets out, but he will if he lives long enough.
Yeah. And I suppose it sounds good to us, but you never want them out if you're the victim, I guess.
Yeah. But I suppose that's what they do in America. They want these big, long sentences, and it's mostly for the families when they're sentenced to, you know, 200 years prison.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not realistic.
No.
And we've heard from lawyers, well, here and all over the world, say that people, when they go to jail, they just don't live long as the general population. So we don't know what's going to happen, but he has been sentenced for that and he will remain in jail for the majority of the rest of his life.
Well, there's that at least.
Yes. Well, Elle, thank you very much for joining me the last couple of days. I hope you have a very nice weekend.
You too. Thank you, Kate.
And thanks for joining us on The West Live today, Friday, February 24. Don't forget to subscribe to The West Live on your favourite podcast player.
You've been listening to The West Live with Elle Giorgio and Kate Ryan.